tell Matt and the rest of the family we said hello. Y'all take care over there, stay safe, and we'll talk to you a little bit later. Additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4 DOS.
DOS. Please check in Kilo 4 X-ray Bravo, K4 XB. Tommy, Southern Greenville County. That'll be negative and negative. Good evening to you, Ms. Joy, and everyone on the net.
Let's say good evening to K4 XB, Mr. Tommy, down there in Southern Greenville County. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Tommy. Tell Dad we said hello. Next up on the stump is Mr. John, KN4RJN, up there in Inman. John, what have you been up to today?
KN4RJN. Yeah, you see what happens when you come on the radio not on a Wednesday night. You just kind of messed up the whole space-time continuum and got everybody confused.
John, see if you would have picked it up tonight.
Sure, I could have, but anyway, we didn't have too much storm damage over here. The worst storm of damage I had was a cat scratched my hand when tried to put her in a box to bring her downstairs into the safe place. That was after I burned my fingers on the toaster last week, and I've got a sore spot on a finger on my right hand, so my hands are a mess right now.
An accident waiting for a place to happen?
I mean, you know, I've got three cats. One's an older cat, and she doesn't like it, but she goes in the box fairly well, and then two younger ones. And the one's, you know, not terribly excitable when I get her in a box. She doesn't like it either, but she'll go in. And the other one is like, holy moly, it's like that cat caught me with her back claws between the pinky finger and the ring finger on the palm about halfway down to the lifeline, almost into the web, and boy, is that thing sore.
That. Oh my goodness, that don't even sound like fun. The old fella I used to work with would have told you to go out there and stick your hand down in a bowl or a bucket of diesel fuel or kerosene. He said then it wouldn't have been sore.
Yeah, right. I'll give that all the considerations due. But anyway. The next tornado warning that comes through, the cats are going to have to fend for themselves. I'll get the dog and the granddaughter and the wife down here in the basement in the safe place, but cats are going to have to fend for themselves. It's like, no, I ain't going through that again.
Sounds to me like you need one of them poles with a string run down through the center of it, and it makes a loop on the end where you can just zip it around the cat, pick them up that way. That way you're a little ways away from them. But I hate that to happen to you, but I know you're joshing about taking your cats independent for themselves. You like us. My sister-in-law called and said, have y'all got a place to, a safe place? And I said, yeah. And she said, well, what about your dogs? I said, they outside. They got a safe place, too. She said, where's that? And I said, wherever they can find.
Yeah, well, the dog usually stays down here in my office down here in the basement with me. She comes upstairs at night and sleeps in the bed. But, yeah, she follows me everywhere, so that's not a problem. The cats, that's a whole different story. But in any event... I'm going to find a better way to put that one cat in a box, I'll tell you that. But, yeah, you didn't get any storm damage over your way, did you?
Didn't have anything over here. We got very little rain, didn't get any hail, got some wind, but not much. Had more wind yesterday than we did when the storms came through. It was pretty windy over here yesterday. We had... sustained winds about, 23, 24 miles an hour, and it gusted up to 35. Even as beautiful a day as it was, but that's all we got out of that. You were talking about the dog sleeping in the bed with you. With the two I got outside are German Shepherds. The male weighs about 125, 130 pounds, and the female weighs about 90 pounds, and I'm not going to let either one of them sleep in the bed with me.
Well, this one's about about 50, 60 pounds. She's a boxer mix. She's a rescue, and I'm her emotional support human. She won't get very far from me since we rescued her, and she'll curl up in a ball between me and my wife. If my wife gets up in the middle of the night, you know, she'll move over to her side, so then we have to fight and get her back over, you know, in between us somewhere down to the foot of the bed, but her and the cat vie for spots on the bed, but, yeah, 50, 60 pounds is one thing, 120, 100, yeah, up in there, no, that'd be a little bit too much, although my daughter's got some kind of American hound dog, and the thing, you know, licks dishes out of the sink. This is a long, tall dog, and I think he weighs about 75 pounds. And he can stand up and put his paws on my shoulders and look me in the face. And, he sleeps in her bed, but how they arrange that, I'm not exactly sure. But to each his own, I guess.
My goodness. Well, you know, that's the way it goes. The children are going to do what they want to do. My youngest son, I think he's down to three dogs now. He had five, and two of them passed away, and he takes in all them rescues as well. You know, the strays that come around, he'll start feeding them, and then they get attached to him, and they won't get rid of them for nothing. And then the older son lives up in Charlotte. He's got three big dogs that live in a townhouse. And I told him, I said, I don't believe I'd do that either. But that's the children. That's not me. But anyway, I'll let them deal with their animals. I have enough trouble dealing with mine.
I hear that. But anyway, when the storm was coming through, my dog was curled up in a ball underneath my desk here at my feet. And she didn't like thunder much. We got a little bit of thunder over here. We got some, like, pea-sized hail. But Steve, who's just down the road from me, W4UVA, or KN4UVA, he said he got 50-cent pea-sized hail, or almost ping-pong ball-sized hail over there. He actually got a couple of dents in his truck. Small ones, not big things, but over here we didn't get too much, so we were right on the edge of it.
We all didn't have any bad outcome from it. I hadn't talked to anybody tonight that had any real bad outcome from it. I know there were a lot of folks that did have. I hate it for them, I really do. I know when we had that wind event, even though we had some tree limbs and the tops of trees down, I didn't have any damage. So that was the biggest thing that I was happy about. As long as nothing gets torn up, it don't bother me to have to get out there and clean up a little bit of debris out of the yard.
Trees drop limbs and sticks, you know, with a slight breeze. So, yeah, we had a few limbs and whatnot to pick up. But other than that, no, we fared pretty well. And on the bright side, it washed off the driveway, so, you know, I can't complain, but, yeah, we were lucky.
I don't mind cleaning up a little debris. I can take care of that. I just don't want to have to rebuild the end of the house or something. I hate it when the folks got their, you know, the hail beat up their cars and stuff. My dad, when he was alive, they had a hail storm while he was at work, and it just tore his car all to pieces. And I don't know who he carried it to, but the fella took the headliner out, and he took the liner out of the hood, and then the out of the trunk. It didn't have any liner on the inside of it, but he knocked every one of those dents out except one or two that were underneath, or you know, where there was a brace that he couldn't knock them back out. But I tell you what, he did a really good job of getting all those little hail dings out of the car. I don't know how they do that.
I don't know. When I used to live out in Oklahoma, and they had a hail storm through there, and I looked, and some of those cars got, and this was almost baseball, almost softball size hail came down. And there were cars that had, you know, busted windshields and whatnot from that stuff. It was, that was a heck of a storm. But, this was many, many years ago. But, yeah, the little dings, you know, they get the little suction cup thing. If it's just a little ding, you can just pop them back out. But the bigger ones take a little bit more, a little more doing than that. And I've seen tools that they use to do that, and it's actually kind of neat to watch them do that. But yeah, if your windshield's busted, you can guarantee you that dent in the top of your car is not easily repairable.
I wouldn't think so. You know. Of course, it doesn't take a whole lot. To, you know, a golf ball size hail, I guess, would bust a windshield if it hit it in the right spot. I was out here. I had cut the grass, and my pickup truck was sitting out there, and Joy's car was out there. And when I got through with the grass, I just decided I'd take the hose pipe, rinse them both off, you know, get the dust off of them. Well, the water out of the hose pipe hit the windshield of my truck, and it cracked in front of the passenger side from the bottom all the way to the top. And the guy that replaced the windshield got to looking, and there was just a little teeny little scar where a rock or something like that had flown up off the road, or, you know, a car in front of me had flipped up. It had a little ding in the windshield, and he said, right here is where it started. And he said, that cold water hitting this windshield, he said, that's what caused it to crack. And I said, oh, well, I didn't know they'd crack that easy.
Been sitting out in the sun long enough and was hot, yeah, it had a little start on it, then, yeah, I guess that would do it.
But I don't know. I've been in a couple of those hail storms when I was driving the truck. Luckily, I never got a busted windshield or anything like that, but I don't like being in those, and especially driving at high speeds. And high speeds, I'm talking, you know, anything above 40, as far as that goes, because, you know, that hail's coming down at a certain speed, and then you go at another speed, and that just increases the velocity it's going to hit the windshield. So, I didn't like driving in those things, and hopefully I don't have to again.
Roger that. I hate to run into one of those on a motorcycle. I don't have a motorcycle anymore. I haven't replaced it yet, but I can't imagine, you know, if you run into a hailstorm on a motorcycle, you got to look for an underpass or someplace to get in and out of it because... Yeah, you're just out there.
Cover. It doesn't matter. You know, if you could find some kind of cover to get under if you're on a motorcycle, that would be the thing to do. Even the pea-size hail hurts.
Yeah, when you're going down the road on a motorcycle at, you know, 50, 60 miles an hour, I don't care what it is. If it hits you, it hurts. I got hit once by, you know, I think an acorn or something. It fell out of a tree, and I ran into it. It hit me in the shoulder. I thought I'd been shot.
I had a bit. When I used to ride years ago, I had stuff like that happen, and it's not fun. You know, even one of the big bumblebees or a little honeybee, it doesn't matter. You know, if it's a relatively big insect to hit you, that's going to hurt too.
I'm fast enough, a butterfly will hurt, but I caught a June bug on the bottom edge of my face mask one time, and it just kind of splattered all down my throat. But fortunately, the face mask took the brunt of it. But boy, that sounded like I'd been hit by a rock.
If you're off the motorcycle, that's the main thing.
I'm coming, but you know, at that speed, there's nothing you can do.
Avoid them, that's for certain.
Come on back on out of here and let you go and see if anybody else wants to check in. But I don't usually get to chat with you because on Wednesday nights the swamp meet goes so long. It's like, well, I got to get to bed. You know, it's like, so 73s to you. Say hi, say hello to Miss Joy for us, and y'all take care and be safe out there.
You take care. Enjoyed the conversation tonight. I appreciate you hanging in there and talking with us a little bit. And yeah, it does go kind of long on Wednesday nights, but I have been on the net, kept the net going from 9 o'clock till midnight on Wednesday night before. But you got to remember, I've been calling it about 15, 16 years, so Wednesday night is just kind of my night. But anyway, you take care, y'all stay safe, and hopefully we'll talk to you a little bit later. 73 there, young man. Do we have additional check-ins or additional comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI-4DOS.
KI-4DOS. Check-in Kilo Oscar 4 Alpha Lima Lima Joe and Greer. Negative and negative.
Say good evening, KO4ALL. Mr. Joe over there in Greer. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Joe. Hope you're doing well. You stay safe. Any other check-ins or any other comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI-4DOS. And all you fine folks out there in Radio Land that came in and talked with me on a Monday night, gosh, I don't know who will be calling tomorrow night, but come back tomorrow night and give whoever is calling the net a good dose of rider's cramp. And I hope each and one of you have a great evening. I'm going to generate my net report to the repeater, and then I'll close the net out. Each and every one of you have a good evening. Alrighty, folks, the reason the repeater read my net report back twice is I hit the log button twice. I didn't mean to do that, but me and my fat fingers, my little short fat fingers, as my wife would say, she said they're like meat hooks, you know, they're short and fat. But anyway, that's what happened with that. This is KI-4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. But our thanks for all those folks checked in with us tonight. Y'all stay safe, and we will talk to you. We will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI-4DOS, clear.